Thanks, Nicu. That's really good of you to pray for me, and also lovely warm welcome as well. It's really grand. I'm talking this evening on reflections of a year. And I don't know how you sit down tonight, what your year's been like, and as maybe you're really excited about 2019, maybe you're not. Maybe you're actually very sort of full of fear about it. What I want to do this evening is to look at Psalm 148. So if you feel free to have a look in your Bibles next year if you want, or I'm just going to read it from the New International Version myself. Psalm 148. And it says this. I'm going to read from verses 1 to 7. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him in the highest heavens and the waters above the sky. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that they will never pass away. Amen. So, I want to think about praise. I want to think about praise and worship this evening. But before we do that, I want to also think about reflection and the idea of reflecting on a year. Lots has happened for me this year. I want to start off with a bit of a comedy reflection. I don't think you see this slide. Sorry, it's a bit blurred because it's actually screen cut from a video, which was probably the most hilarious thing I received on my phone this year. It's my 8-year-old son doing a trumpet solo at school for a full 2 minutes. I have the file. I chose not to bless you with that this evening. But him and a couple of friends playing for full 2 minutes. And the camera is shaking about because Michelle is laughing so much as she's recording it. It was brilliant. But actually, the sense of pride and the sense of laughter and happiness that this clip provided all us as a family was amazing. But it's lovely to look back on things and to say that was something that happened. And it is hilarious. And I genuinely don't know how that music teacher does his job day in, day out, visiting schools, having to put up with that noise. But he does, clearly. And you know what? On a positive thing, I reckon he plants some seeds as well. And he really inspires some young people to really take on music. And maybe Bradders will do that. I don't know. Maybe he will become the next best trumpet player. But who knows? But I think it's brilliant to be able to plant seeds and help others discover their passions. So as we're sort of thinking about reflecting and this year, that's perhaps something I want to sort of begin to plant in you, is what is God going to give you a passion for this year? And as we've read this evening in Psalm 148, it's a wonderful psalm, isn't it? It's a wonderful psalm where it talks about praise being due to God. And it begins in the highest heavens. It begins in verses 1 to 4. It's about the sun and the moon, the stars above, the clouds and the rain. And the second half of the psalm, which we didn't read, goes on to talk about also the sea creatures, the mountains and the trees and animals and the flying birds will also praise God also. And here, the psalmist is commanding us all to praise the Lord, as do the inhabitants of the earth, as everything that is in the earth praises the Lord. I was reading this week Tim Keller on a devotion around this psalm, and he shares this idea that all non-human creation praises God already, and it calls out to God already. All nature sings God's glory, and we alone are the ones that are out of tune. And I really, as we were praying before this service, Nicu used the word about being in tune to God, and he hadn't had anything about what I was going to talk about, but that was the word that God really laid on my heart, that idea of being in tune with God. So as we sing our songs of life, are we going to be in tune with God? So it's a question, how can we be brought back into being in tune with God? Now, I'm not going to try and answer that all tonight, you'll be pleased to hear, but perhaps it's something to inspire us this year with. I think one of the first ways that we can do that is by worshipping God. And it's a great place to start, to take us back into the wonder of who he is and what he has done for us through the gift of Christ as we celebrate in this Christmas season. In his hymn, Robinson, O Thou Fount of Every Blessing, encourages us to tune our heart to sing Thy grace. I was really taken by that as I was preparing for this week. That actually, we sing that song quite a lot in church, actually. And it's a wonderful hymn. But how do we tune our hearts to sing Christ's grace? But also there's a second phrase in the second verse that I was taken with as I was preparing. And it was the idea of, here I raise my Ebenezer. And it's not talking about Scrooge. You'll be glad to hear it. It's talking about the idea of actually really finding something to be remembering and go back to. So here I raise my Ebenezer is at the beginning of the second verse. And it stresses the joy of Christianity and the Christian's need to rely on the Lord. And this phrase is actually from 1 Samuel 7, verses 12, because it reminds God's people of how he delivered them from danger. And we're not going to read all of that story, but it's a wonderful story of our Old Testament battle and God's people losing and then coming back and then losing again and then coming back. And Samuel being in charge and being the judge and the prophet who oversaw that time in Israel's history. And obviously they were battling many, many times with the Philistines. And in one occasion, the Philistines intended to defeat them. They actually stole the Ark of the Covenant. It was taken into battle. Israel took it into battle almost like a lucky charm. And God actually was furious that they did it. And as a punishment, he allowed the Philistines to steal it. And the Philistines take this ark back and they actually place it in their pagan temple. And you can imagine the horror that this is, you know, given to God's people, that the very Ark of the Covenant, this very holy thing, God's presence is taken away and it's put in this temple to defile his name. But then even once it's captured, there's this wonderful thing where their God, their stone God, actually falls down in front of the ark in worship. And God sends plagues upon the Philistines and causes the idol to fall face down. So in fearing God, the Philistines give the ark back. They say, we don't want it anymore. But they continue to fight many, many more battles. And Samuel continues to lead these judges, as their judge, beg your pardon. And Samuel offers sacrifices to God so that the Philistines, as they approach, God is in the thunder and a great thunder. Samuel verse 7:10 says. And in the confusion that followed, the Israelites soundly defeat the Philistines. So this is where this phrase, Ebenezer, comes from. It's from 1 Samuel 7 verse 12. And it's this idea, okay, of God being our helper. And as a reminder of the great victory, Samuel took a great stone and raised it up as a memorial. And he called it the Ebenezer Stone, a stone of help, saying, the Lord has helped us this far. And whenever the Israelites looked at the stone, they would remember what God had done for them. Sadly, we can't see this stone. It doesn't exist anymore, but I think it's a great thing to think about, actually, that idea of actually when God's done something massive in our lives, we put a memorial up and we say that actually was something significant. And maybe that's something that we could begin to plant this year. What are some memorials that we could put up to God this year? And when we're singing, here I raise my Ebenezer, we're quoting Samuel, who raised this Ebenezer stone to remind the Israelites of God's helping them in a time of great trouble. The words teach and inspire us to look back at God's past blessings when he has stepped into our lives and delivered us. When life seems difficult, he's been there and helped us to press on and not to give up. These words remind me that God is truly the fount of every blessing, who deserves our worship and praise. Although the words here are slightly obscure in 2018, they do express our gratitude to who God is in our time of trouble. So that idea of placing a stone in a field and doing that, and remembering what God has done. Last year, I did something similar. I mean, not put a stone in the ground, but I went on a school trip, and I traced some steps back of some fallen soldiers who were in my family. And I found it quite a significant point, that idea of looking back at something in the past. And if you see on my my right ear, there's a white stone base to the column there at Teetvale. There is actually a family name on my family up there. And it was really very special as I shared it with some Year 9 students. In fact, some very cheeky Year 9 boy students. But what was lovely was, for this moment, while we were on this battlefield, they actually looked for my family's name. And it was very profound that they found it. Sir, we found it. It's up here. And I obviously had to do the obligatory selfie and capture the moment. But it is a moment, an Ebenezer, to look back and to think, what's something that has gone before? Now, clearly, that was a massive sacrifice. There's over 75,000 names on that memorial. It's significant, and that's why it is so big. So looking back in this centenary year of the armistice is significant. As I see a picture like that, you think about those that have allowed us to go forward and those that have sacrificed. However, in looking back, we also must let go. I don't know if you've seen The Greatest Showman as a film. It was one of the surprising films for me last year that really, I really actually enjoyed, I have to tell you. I wasn't supposed to enjoy it, but I really enjoyed it, being taken to the cinema to go and see it. And there was this moment within the film, I think this is my favourite part, where there's two characters who are doing this dance on a trapeze. And it is just profoundly inspiring. But there is a point where both of them have to let go of things. One has to let go of a rope, the other one has to jump onto a bar. And in order to embrace the new, I think this is a great picture for us here, we must also release the old. As this trapeze artist can't swing from one bar to another unless they let go. And it's important, as we prepare for a new year, as we review things from the past, we must release things from the past as well, and we must learn from them. So I guess one of my challenges for me as well as yourselves is, what are we going to let go of this year? Is there some things, as we jump from one thing to another, that we have to say goodbye to and be really, really excited in that, as hard as that may be? To do that, as you know, I have a background in coaching, in football coaching. I think evaluation is really important, so I'm going to do one of my football slides. I'm really sorry. The idea that there's an effect and then we have to have some action. Okay, there's some feedback. I found this question really helpful. And I hope that you may take some time out of your busy schedule this holiday to ponder where you've been, to talk to people who care, who are around you, to write some thoughts perhaps, to do some journaling. It's not something that I'm massively good at doing, journaling, but I know when I have and that I've come back and then revisited, it's wonderful. Consider perhaps even writing a letter to yourself at the end of the year. It could be a profound way and really valuable to reread in the years to come and help you on your journey in faith. Helping you to reflect on what you've done, how you felt, on what you've liked, what you've not liked, what you've learned, what you haven't learned. And try to look at yourself and your experience as objectively as you can. So that idea of evaluating. So we've looked back, we've let go, and now we've evaluated. What are some questions that we can ask ourselves? Well, I think there's 10, and I hope, sorry, they're really small. I thought we might have a bigger screen, but I can share these if you want to have them at the end. But this idea of these 10 questions to perhaps ask yourself and to start mulling over this time. Please feel free to add some of yours. So, first one being, what have I learned? What are some skills, some knowledge, some awareness that I've taken on this year? What have I accomplished? What are the list of my wins and my achievements? What would I do differently? Why would I do it differently? What do I have I completed? What have I need to release? What are the most significant events in the past year for me? Could you list your top three? Who helped me to know Jesus this year? Who have I signposted to Jesus this year? What were my biggest challenges, roadblocks, or difficulties? How am I different from last year? And who am I particularly grateful for? Now, this list isn't exhaustive at all, and I'm sure you've got some things that you could add to that. But I often find that it's a really good opportunity this time of year when there's moments in the house when it's quiet and there's moments when it's not, but when we can sit down and we can perhaps reflect and evaluate these questions. And they can help set us some challenges for the future. Another suggestion perhaps is making a list of all the things in our lives which we want to let go of, that we no longer want. To give thanks for them, for what they have brought in terms of learning and usefulness. And then perhaps to burn those things in almost like a sacrifice, but a very visual picture. It's symbolic, but it's releasing the old from the new. The idea of a next step to what you want to do, experiences, knowledge, relationships, healing, whatever. I'm confident that anything that you can do this year, more dramatically in any terms of your own personal and spiritual growth, will be really valuable. So that idea of actually writing it down and going, this is important to me, I'm going to try this, I'm going to commit to do this year. And finally, returning to that verse in the hymn that we mentioned at the beginning, tune me. How can I allow my heart to be tuned to sing about your grace? Reflecting on another year, Lord, when I try to praise you, when we try to praise you, I sense that I am out of tune, that I am an extremely unskillful musician in life. But please tune my heart and our hearts to sing thy grace by the truth of your word and the moving of your spirit in our hearts today and forevermore. Amen.